A week ago, I began the series called "The So Heavenly Minded." I looked at the title there, and I go, "Oh, that what? Oh, yeah, okay, there it is." So Heavenly Minded, and subtitled "So Earthly Good." I shared with you Oliver Wendell Holmes' quote last week that is most typical when people go, "Yeah, that person is so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good." And we're turning that around. We are not going to make that to be the case among us, because to be heavenly minded, truly heavenly minded, is to establish you in a place where you are going to be the most earthly good. And so that's what we're looking at. Today we're going to look at the mind of peace. If we're heavenly minded, I believe that we can have a mind and a heart that is filled with the peace of God. Before we go into that, I want to share with you one of the foundational scriptures that we have been applying as a part of this series. When we're talking about being heavenly minded, really it comes from this Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 3 that says, "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God." There's so many things in there, but I just want to highlight a couple of words or phrases that it uses. It talks about new life, okay? When it says that you were raised to new life with Christ, and then it talks about real life. It says down there in the latter part in verse 3, it says, "And your real life is hidden with Christ in God." So there's something that has changed within us that's going to cause us to have the ability to have a heavenly mindset. And this is what it tells us to do. It says, set sights on the realities of heaven. So there's something we need to consider. Something that's real has substance to it. Something that's real is tangible. When we think about the realities of heaven, we're talking about things that we can't see with our physical eyes or perceive with our physical senses. We're talking about heavenly realities. So we've got to make an adjustment concerning natural reasoning or typical human reasoning. There, it goes beyond that when we're considering spiritual things or things of heaven. And it's telling us to set our sights on the realities of heaven. And then it says to think about the things of heaven, not earth. So we're making a contrast. There are earthly perceptions, earthly ways, base traditions of men is one of the phrases that the scripture uses that we'll be looking at in this series. But it says, think about the things of heaven, not earth. Now, as we get into this, I want to share, first of all, what is the origin of peace? How is it that we have peace? If we're going to have a mind of peace, how is it that we can have that? Before I get into this too much, I want to, first of all, just give props to Dale for his message. Dale? Me? Who? Yeah, you. Dale Jr., who came from Dale Sr. So props to you, Dale Sr., as well. But Dale gave a message on December 14th in our absence, and he shared about in his series of WWJD, and I'm not going to challenge them to ask them, what did this WWJD mean? But it was, what if worries Jesus didn't? And you think about all the what ifs that are going on in your life and the opportunities for worries, but Jesus didn't. And why was it that he didn't? And then he just did a tremendous job at giving us application for that. And as I started preparing this lesson on a mind of peace, I thought, man, there's a lot of verses that I'm going to be repeating. And I want you to know that I'm not doing this because I didn't think Dale did a good enough job. I thought he did a great job, especially when he was talking about, how the King James translation uses the word "take no thought," and it's not "don't think about anything," just set your brain aside. It's not talking about that at all. But I loved it when he brought out what that really means is not to be strangled with or tormented with thoughts. And I thought, man, that is good. That's good teaching. When you find out that, there are thoughts that can strangle you, there are thoughts. How many of you have ever been tormented by thoughts? I mean, that is not a good experience. And it's going to rob you of the life, the real life that God has for you. So we want to be able to discern the thoughts and We'll get into all this in future messages, you know, taking those thoughts captive, those thoughts that would otherwise be strangling you. So I just want to share that Dale did a fine job with that. And as I share, I'll be not sharing some of the things that he shared and sharing some of the things that he didn't. So I'm adding to, not taking away from what Dale did. So good job, Dale, and I appreciate that. But first of all, if you would turn with me to Romans chapter 5, I'll encourage you to look some of these scriptures up. Some I will have on the screen for you, but it's good to know your text, to know where things are in the Word, to highlight them as you do. I know you can highlight in your electronic devices as well, and that's good too, so however it works for you. But Romans chapter 5, I'll be sharing verses 1 through 5, just verses 1 through 2 first. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight, by faith we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. I just want to stop there and just make, when we're talking about the origin of peace, first of all, peace with God, we have peace with God because of what Christ has done. That is the origin of peace. We start out with a relationship with God as a result of what Christ has done on our behalf. That is the origin of peace. And it says that we are made right with God by faith. So we're expressing our faith in what God has done through Christ so that we can have peace with him. By faith, we are made right with God. And by our faith, then we are brought into this place of undeserved privilege. I love that phrase, how it says, undeserved privilege. You know, that's like, hey, I know someone. Or, hey, I'm part of that family. It's like, I have a place there. I have privileges because of my place there. I have place there because I was brought into a relationship. And that's what it's talking about. Through Christ, God has brought us into a relationship where we have undeserved privilege. And as a result of that then we can walk in peace with God. That's the origin of our peace. Let's go on to verses 3 through 5 then. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our hope, our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So the reality is while we're here in this world, we're going to see this a number of times, we're going to run into problems. But even though we do, we can still maintain our peace. We can still realize I'm in an undeserved, privileged relationship with God. I have peace with him because of what Christ has done on my behalf. And so, you know, I don't have to fuss about this. Even when we have problems, we can have peace. We can rejoice when we run into the problems. And this is why, because we know how dearly God loves us. We know how dearly God loves us. Again, it's the relationship. We know that we have peace with God because we know how much he loves us. Okay, on to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, this is when Jesus is declaring what we call the Sermon on the Mount. He is speaking these things to the multitudes of people, and he's helping them to evaluate their lives. He's helping them to sort the difference between the law and the intent of the law, if you were to read through Matthew's chapter 5, 6, and 7. But in the middle of that, in Matthew chapter 6, he's talking about their everyday lives and what they need to give their attention to. Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 25. This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? When we see this, he starts talking about don't worry about everyday life, speaking specifically of food, drink, clothing. Those are the things that are mentioned there. We could add to that, you know, transportation, shelter, you know, all these kinds of things, financial resources. Don't worry about everyday life. It says your Heavenly Father feeds the birds and clothes the flowers, and then it makes a comparison. Aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Aren't you far more valuable? So again, when we're talking about how we care for, how we are cared for by God and how we can maintain our peace, it's like we know how much he loves us. Look at what he does for nature and how much more valuable we are to him than they are. It says he will certainly care for you. He will certainly, we can bank on that. We know that he's going to care for us. Now, when it talks about, you know, by worrying, have you ever added a single day to your life? Here's a comparison, scriptural comparison. Proverbs 14 and verse 30 says this, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. So that would be in contrast to a heart that's full of worry or care or concern. And, you know, we know what happens to a physical being that's full of anxiety or worry. Blood pressure goes up. If it gets strong enough and long enough, you'll end up with ulcers. And, you know, all those kinds of things are a result of stress, concern, worry, fear, all that kind of stuff. Just robs you of life. You're never going to add a day to your life. But here it says a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. So we're even going to be better off physically. See, these are the blessings of God. When we walk in these blessings of God, we're going to be better off in every area of our life. And then we see that, again, peace begins with the undeserved privilege of a relationship with Heavenly Father. When we're talking about the origin of peace, where does our peace come from? How is it that we can know that we can have peace? It begins with the undeserved privilege of a relationship with Heavenly Father. We know how much he cares for us. We know how much he loves us. Jesus said this in John 16:33. I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. Again, there's the reality. We're going to have trouble. We're going to have trials. If you feel like I'm here and I'm going through stuff and there must be something wrong with me, God must not care enough, or I must not have enough faith, or whatever the kinds of things, you know, it's like Satan will use a file index with you to try and get you convinced of something along the line, some point of error, to get you off track and out of relationship with God. He'll use anything that he can. But realize that you can be smack dab in the will of God, exercising your faith to an extreme, and still end up with trials and trouble because you're living here in this world where things are contrary to the kingdom of God, where it says in Scripture that Satan is the ruler of this world, or Satan is the god of this world. And so we need to just deal with the reality of that, deal with the reality that we wrestle against principalities and powers, deal with the reality we're going to have trouble while we're here. But in the midst of that trouble, it doesn't mean we lose our peace. Doesn't mean that we're not in a close and caring relationship with God. You've probably heard this phrase before, no Jesus, no peace, N-O. No Jesus, no peace. But if you know Jesus, you can know peace. K-N-O-W. Know Jesus and you will know peace. So there's the difference. When we have him, like Jesus said, I came that you might have peace in me. I've told you this so that you may have peace in me. Even though you have trials and troubles here on earth, he says, take heart because I have overcome the world. When we know him, we will know peace. Well, it's not only obtaining peace or, you know, the origin of our peace. We are instructed to maintain peace. And the first thing I want to challenge you with is at what level of peace ought we to be walking? This verse in Isaiah 55 or Isaiah 26 says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always. For the Lord God is the eternal rock. So the peace we ought to be pressing for is called perfect peace. Perfect peace. therein lies the challenge. You know, I've talked about, wouldn't it be neat if we could walk under a meter and it would measure things with us, you know, measure our relationship with the Lord, measure our level of faith or whatever. You know, what if we walked under a meter that measured the level of peace and it had the opportunity for that meter to peg out at perfect? It's like, would anyone ever get there? And yet that's what God says for those who is mine. And here's the other thing. I mean, we're going to trust in the Lord always and establish our minds on him, whose thoughts are fixed on God. So when we're talking about being heavenly minded, if we will keep our thoughts on the Lord, keep our thoughts on how big God is, and trust in him always. Now, I think that always could be spelled either this way, A-L-W-A-S, or two words, A-L-L-W-A-Y-S. Always trust in him in all ways. So if we keep our thoughts fixed on him, we can and we ought to continue to press for perfect peace. You know, I think you can, without walking under a meter or something like that, I think you can examine your own heart and examine your own mind and say, what's the level of peace that I'm walking in today? You know when you feel anxious. You know when you worry. And so if you are worrying or if you are anxious, you ought to just go, okay, wait a minute, this is not the standard that God has established for me. I've got to do something to maintain or to press for that standard of what the Bible calls perfect peace. In Psalms 34, this will give us some clues as to how to press for or how to maintain that level of what we would call perfect peace. I'll encourage you to look this one up, Psalms chapter 34 and verses 14 through 19. You know, I am preaching this message to myself probably a whole lot more than I am to you. And I'll share with you some of the fussing that I do and how ungodly it is. But anyway, Psalm 34. So I'm just, like I said, preaching to myself, letting you listen, and hopefully you can get something out of it too. Psalm 34 and starting with verse 14. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. Search for peace and work to maintain it. That's what the scripture says. So things are going to be coming up to steal our peace away, and we need to maintain it. So here's what it says. Here's the instruction for us, starting with verse 15 then. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their cries for help. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. He will erase their memory from the earth. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. So again, as it says here, I guess I'm going to read down through verse 19. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. So when we're looking at this and seeing, you know, how we are to maintain our peace, first of all, we call on him for help because his ears are open to hear us. And then it says that the righteous person faces many troubles. We're getting that message over and over through Scripture. So please be assured, just because you're walking with the Lord doesn't mean you're not going to have troubles. And just because you have troubles does not mean you're not in a right relationship with the Lord, or that the devil's getting the victory in your life or whatever. It's part of living here in this world. Jesus said, take courage, I've overcome. So maintain that perfect peace in the midst of troubles. The righteous person faces many troubles, but it says the Lord comes to rescue each time. I love that. Each time he comes to rescue. It's not just when you've been good enough for him to consider you worthy to be rescued, or not just when he feels like it, but you know, God is kind of up and down. You never know how he's going to feel about it. So it's not. He hears you when you call out to him, and he, because of his care for you and because of his love for you, he is ready to rescue you from those troubles each time. In Isaiah chapter 55, when we're talking about maintaining peace, you know, this is among those verses where we looked at last week where it says that God's ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, And then he, like the rain and the snow come to water the earth and spring forth and bear its fruit, so he sends his word out, and so it will produce what he desires. His word will produce that in our lives. Then the very next verse says, you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. So here we can understand that maintaining peace by finding peace in our decisions, this is how we know the will of God, is by making a decision based on peace. Many times, Melanie and I will be sought for counsel regarding decisions that are to be made and that kind of thing, and that's fine. It's good to get counsel. From many counselors make one wise, but the point of this is that we always kind of hand it back and say, well, what gives you peace? When you consider the options, consider your decisions, what is it that gives you peace? Because that is very likely the will of God for you, because you are led forth by peace. And so that's one of the ways we maintain peace, is making decisions based on the peace that God gives us concerning those things. And then Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Dale spent much time on this passage, and it's, I tell you what, this is one of my favorites, and you know, I could quote this one. I don't know if I could get all of the things that we're to think on in verse 8, get them all right in an order. But I know the be anxious for nothing part of this, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, is not something that I ever sat down and memorized. But in my years of farming, I was applying this passage over and over and over again. If any of you, and I know some of you have farmed, boy, that is a profession, a career by which you must walk by faith and live by faith. And there's ample opportunity for anxiety. And so weather related, you know, you put that seed in the ground and you're expecting a harvest. And there are so many things that are involved in. It's not just farming. It's really any business or occupation. All of our lives have the opportunity for anxiety. But this passage of Scripture is telling us about how to maintain our peace when we are to work to maintain our peace. This really gives us the clues as to how to do that. Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 6. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. So, starting out, how many things do we need to worry about? Not the little ones, but we should really worry about the big ones, shouldn't we? I mean, aren't there some things that are bigger than God? See, that's the deal. That's really what we're saying when we start to consider, you know, I've got to worry about some of these big things in my life. We're saying, yeah, God probably doesn't care enough to concern himself with that. He's got too many other big things on his plate. So it says, don't worry about anything, or I love the way New American Standard says be anxious for nothing. That's the other way of saying don't worry about anything, or that's another way of describing perfect peace. When you are anxious for nothing, you have perfect peace going on. So, continues on then in that verse 6, it says, pray, tell God what you need. And remember from our passage before, it says his ears are open to the calling of his people. Pray, tell him what you need. So when we're talking about maintaining peace, we've got to be in conversation with the Lord concerning those things that would otherwise cause us to be anxious. And it also uses this word, thank him for all he has done. You know, what I realize is that when I'm considering things that are in front of me that are huge, that would otherwise concern me, when I look back and look how God over and over and over again has supplied and provided for me, has made a way in ways that I thought that there was none. You know, like it says, a river in the wilderness, a roadway in the desert. It's like this is the way that God provides and supplies for those that he cares for. And when I look back with that thankfulness for what you have done, it is so much easier for me to look ahead and say, once more, God will supply. Once more, God will provide. I don't need to be anxious about this thing that would otherwise be overwhelming. So we pray, we tell him what our need is, we thank him for all that he has done, and then this is what happens, verse 7. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So here, people, is what I call the great exchange. We have what would otherwise be our concerns, our worries, our anxiety. We offer it up in prayer, asking him what we need with thanksgiving in our hearts. And instead of that anxiety, we get to experience God's peace. We exchange our anxiety for his peace. And then it goes on to say that that peace, which it exceeds all understanding, so, or another phrase is surpasses all comprehension. It's like there is no reasonable explanation for that peace to come. Now, here's something that we need to grasp hold of, that there are times when we think, well, when the circumstances change, then I will have peace. But he's talking about you having peace before anything changes. Otherwise, there would be an understandable reason for you having peace. But here it's peace that exceeds all understanding, peace that surpasses all comprehension. There is no reason for you to have peace other than he has given you peace and you've accepted it and you're going to walk in that instead of walking worry. Peace beyond all comprehension. And then it says that that peace guards your hearts and your minds. So when we're talking about maintaining peace, a heavenly mindset that is filled with peace, we're going to walk in that peace guarding our mind, guarding our thoughts, guarding our hearts, so that when anxiety or worries start to creep up on us, we'll go, you know what, I don't need to do that. My heart, my mind is guarded with peace. And then, again, this verse in verse 8 is especially good considering having a heavenly mindset, being so heavenly minded. It says, verse 8, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Now I'm going to read verse 9 too. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. So again, fix your thoughts on these things. We want a heavenly mindset, being so heavenly minded. If our thoughts are set on these things, there's not going to be room for a lot of anxiety to crop up or to steal your peace. Okay, then Romans chapter 8. I love this passage in Romans chapter 8. This is so good. Romans chapter 8, and we'll get into more of this too at another date. I'm just going to make reference to it here when we're talking about maintaining peace. Romans chapter 8 and verses 5 and 6. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So, okay, we'll just stop with that one. It's talking about having a life that is controlled by the Holy Spirit. Those controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. And letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So this will literally be another whole message about having a Spirit-controlled mind. We're talking about being so heavenly minded. Is your mind controlled by the Holy Spirit, or is your mind controlled by your fleshly desires? So what a difference it will make. The mind controlled by the Spirit leads to life and to peace. I'm just going to make reference to this too and flash on the screen the snapshot of the post on our website regarding the message in the series of Who Wrote the Book of Love, where I was talking about peace, walking in peace with others. When we're talking about maintaining peace, a lot of times we are challenged in our peace with relationships with other people. And I'll just, like I said, just making reference to this, you can go back and take a look at that. It's the one on love and church. And what's the date on that? Do I have the date on that? I can't read it. November 16th. And so you can go back and listen to that. But in there I make reference to the Romans chapter 12, verse 18 that says, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. So when we're talking about maintaining peace, that's in relationships as well. And God gives us instruction to do that. So that's huge, just to make reference to that. All right, we're going to close with this passage of Scripture. Actually, I shouldn't say that because you'll think when we're done with this passage, we're done. But I got some more comments after it. But this is the last Scripture, okay? No, it's not even that. So anyway, just get on with it, Roger. Luke chapter 10 and verses 38 to 42, we're going to talk about Mary and Martha. Oh, Martha, Martha. And you go, those of you who respond like Martha, go, oh, not again. I don't need to hear this one more time. Probably you saying that means yes, you do. Okay, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." Okay, so first of all, we see Mary, she's sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he taught, but Martha is distracted by all the dinner preparation. And then she comes to Jesus and says, "You know, I think this is unfair." And so she says, "Don't you think it's unfair, Jesus?" And Jesus replies to her then in verse 40. I'll continue reading there. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are so worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." So those of you who have the Martha type of mentality or personality or perspective will be among those who will say, yeah, there's a lot of times I feel things are unfair. I'm left to do the details while others are just off, you know, enjoying life, not having all the responsibilities, not taking responsibilities that ought to be theirs. It would be fair if they were made to come and work together with me. Or how dare they take all that time for quiet time with the Lord or reading Scripture? There are important things to be done. Remember last week when I shared about, you know, don't sweat the little stuff? For those who are Marthas, there is no little stuff. All the details are so important and so necessary. And how do you think I know that is? I'm one of those kind of people where if the details aren't coming together, you start fussing about it. Like I shared the example of a few weeks ago. It's like there is some way that we need to listen to the words of Jesus like Mary was in the first place, only when he says to us who have that Martha perspective and mentality, when he says, you know, you're worried and upset over all these details, there is only one thing that you need to concern yourself with, and Mary has discovered it, and it can't be taken away. Like, how many times are we fussing and fretting? But we've not spent time with the Lord. We've not concerned ourselves with the one thing that we could concern ourselves with. We've concerned ourselves with all the details. And it just robs us of the true life, of the heavenly realities, of the peace that would otherwise be ours because we're fussing about all the details. So some way or another, we need to continue to work towards and some way or another I described in the maintaining peace this morning when we talked about offering up your requests, calling upon the Lord. He hears, he cares, he'll rescue you. There are these things where we need to release the details and not fuss about the details and realize there's only one thing to be concerned about. There's really only one thing to be concerned about. Mary has discovered it and it won't be taken away. Okay, so I want to just share a couple of thoughts in conclusion with you. First of all, the mind of peace originates with a right relationship with God, a place of undeserved privilege. Grasp hold of that phrase, undeserved privilege. You know, I don't deserve this privilege I have with God, but he has given me a relationship with him, and that relationship results in peace. And then work to maintain that peace at a level of perfect. That's the standard. Keep your eye, your heart fixed, your mind fixed on him, and you, that will lead to perfect peace. And that means calling on God in trouble or times of anxiety, finding peace and letting that be your guide in decisions. It means letting the Spirit control your mind. It means fellowship with the Lord, listening to his word as Mary chose to. And that could not be taken away. So when we're talking about, you know, this is the start of a new year, and we want to look ahead, and we're desiring for a good year and a prosperous year, that things would go well and that we'd be delivered out of those things that are not going well, a look to the future with hope, I want you to consider what this scripture says about those who look to the future with love and peace. It says, look at those who are honest and good, from Psalm 37. 37 through 40. Look at those who are honest and good, for a wonderful future awaits those who love peace. So even that perspective on how we are pursuing or maintaining peace is going to affect our future. A wonderful future awaits those who love peace. But the rebellious will be destroyed, and they have no future. The Lord rescues the godly. He is their fortress in times of trouble. The Lord helps them, rescuing them from the wicked. He saves them, and they will find shelter in him. Let's grasp hold of that. God has for us a place that's called perfect peace. If we pursue after that, if we love peace, we're going to have a wonderful future. We'll have healthier bodies. We'll be living in a relationship with the Lord whereby we know that he cares for us. We know that he's going to supply and provide for us. And so in all these things, we can enjoy the life that God has for us through Christ. We go back to the scripture, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant, or that you might have life to the full. That's his plan for you in 2015. Pursue after it, being heavenly minded, a mind filled with peace. Amen.